To be honest with you this morning, and I'm usually honest when I'm preaching, but I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Jesus. He changed my life, and so it is an honour and a privilege to be able to share the word, because I believe the Bible holds the truth to life that we can live here on earth. I mean, it's not the way it was supposed to be, but Jesus came to change things so that we could live a life in this world where it's not perfect, where we're not perfect, but helps us live a life that is an example of God loving people and reaching out through His Son. So we've got some friends here this morning that came up from, so there's other friends here, but I've got a few more, Jim and Ann, which we've already welcomed, but a couple of special friends that we've got to know recently since moving back to Mount Barker, Zane and Jenny, and it's so lovely to have them here this morning with us, so thank you for coming. We've got a few people away, being a long weekend, and some people have not in church this morning, and they might be visiting somewhere else, but that's all good. God knows who's here, and the big thing is He's here, His presence. Back in 1991, I think it was, that we had our 25th wedding anniversary. And if that's for me, I'm busy. So in 1991, we had this wedding anniversary. We redid our vows and on our 25th wedding anniversary. And then because I was working in a secular job, I'd actually come up for long service leave, and we had been busy taking holidays prior to that every year, and we used to take them particularly when the pastor, who was then the pastor of the church, so that we would look after things during him being away, which was usually over Christmas and things like that. And we just felt God speak to us about taking a sabbatical. And we'd served in the church ever since it started in Allgate, and then outgrew the Allgate Hall. And then we moved into Bridgewater Hall, and then there was a separation in the church. One group went to Heathfield, and then we came to Mount Barker. And so we'd been in the church quite some years, and we just felt to take this sabbatical. And we actually, people had said, well, God's going to take you by the hand. And I don't know whether Wendy had that word or, but it was one of those things. So we were up in far north Queensland. We sold our house and we said, God, wherever you want us to be, we will go. But we're going on a trip. We're going to see relatives in Queensland. And so we travelled up with a caravan and car, and I had a tinny on top, and I thought we're going to do some fishing and just have a bit of sabbatical. And we were up in Cairns, and we also had our son's tent as well, and we thought, well, we're going to do a bit of bush stuff, because we had a Land Cruiser at the time. And so we left our caravan in Cairns in the church park up there, because it had a massive 26 acres, I think, in the Sweetwater or Freshwater church. And we left our caravan there, and we tented across the Gulf Country to go all the way, tending across to with a tinny on top and an outboard in the back, and a two-man tent, and then a better tent for if we stayed longer. But it was like we went on this road, on this journey that we hadn't been on before. So we're going across the up the tablelands of Queensland, and we're heading out this one particular night, and it's getting late in the night. And, you know, you sort of want to camp where it's going to be reasonably safe. And so as we're traveling along, there was just nowhere that seemed to be safe and right to pull over. And next minute, a vehicle passed us. And when he said, follow that vehicle, you know, she said, it's loaded up with camping gear. So we did. And as we're going down this road, they turned into another property. And we're heading down this road. And I'm thinking, you know, there's probably somebody down the end. Who are you? You know, so anyway, we thought, well, we'll keep doing this. Wendy's off and on the ball, and we just felt to do that. We felt safe. And when we arrived, there's this well-lit park. And there's railway carriages and accommodation in there. And there's campfire. And it was fantastic. We thought, what is this? So we started looking around and we unpacked our stuff. And we found out and discovered it was a private property, but they had actually found the lava tubes. Gregory Station was up further. So anyway, these lava tubes that they'd found on the property had been formed by a volcanic action that had gone through under the ground, and all these beautiful caves that were there as a result. They only found it one day when they were out on their horses rounding up cattle, and there's this place where it's sunken, and the trees are actually growing from the bottom. So when they investigated, they discovered that in the ceiling of this tunnel was all these different colours of the rocks because of the molten lava that had gone through there. So these people didn't know it, but they showed us a way. They took us on this path, and we found that by accident. We didn't know it was there. And so there we are. The next day there was a tour, so we organised the tour. We jump in their vehicle and away we go, and we go and visit these lava tubes. And it was so spectacular. We would have missed that had we not followed them. They knew the way. And I want to talk to you this morning about the way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus actually said these words, and these are words that after Jesus had the Last Supper, which we're going to come back to, was he said these words to them because Thomas said, show us the way. And Jesus said these words that are powerful. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I know of a way. It is, I am the way, not many ways, as the world would say. There is only one way, and Jesus was very clear and precise when he said that he is the way. He went on to say that he is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He is the truth. I mean, we have a calendar that says a certain date when Jesus came and died upon a cross. We have things we celebrate like Easter, and so the whole world knows really about a certain day and why the calendar has changed, and there is BC and there is AD, the year of grace. And we are in that year of grace. We saw the grace of God displayed when God sent his son. He sent his son to die for us. And, you know, when people realize that it's so simple, yet so profound, yet people struggle with it and will go off and try other ways to get to God. They'll try and do it on their own strength. They will try and do it in their own way, which really is self-righteousness. Yep. Trying to make you... I've spoken to people and I said, would you like to come along to church? And they said, no, the roof will fall down. I said, well, many people that we've invited, the roof has never fallen down. That's the truth. And so, well, I couldn't. I'm not good enough. Well, it's like saying, well, I've got to go to the doctor before I... And get better. I've got to actually go and get better before I go and see the doctor. I'm so glad one night I walked into a building and heard the gospel message that as a teenager growing up in a church, I really never heard it to that extent that I responded and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. It made so much sense. But I want to talk to you about the night that Jesus was about to be betrayed. And it's found in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, to me, just reveals the heart of God. Because here Jesus is with his disciples. Now, he's about to go to one of the most horrific deaths mankind could put on another man. I mean, it was horrific. What you see in that movie that Mel Gibson came up with was The Passion of Christ. Really didn't, I had to turn away. I felt sick in the stomach watching it because of how graphic that was. But the Bible tells us that even back in the Psalms, that was written about him, what it would be like. His bones were protruding. This flesh was ripped off him. And I thought, wow. But here he is. And Jesus is with his disciples. And he's about to do something and say something, because Jesus was always more than his words. He was who he was. And he was revealing, pardon me, the Father heart of God. He was revealing the heart of the Father. And in John chapter 13, it says, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and when he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own in the world, he showed them the full extent of his love, is one translation. He loved them to the end, is another translation. He was continually showing the love of the Father. So what he does in this is something that, you know, just, it's very humbling. Here's a room where these men are, and they're about to eat what is called the Passover, which was celebrated in Egypt when the children of Israel were liberated through that place. There was the slaughtering of a lamb, and there was the unleavened bread that was made. And so there would have been the smell of roast lamb. And don't get carried away with that thought. That's later. Give me a little while. But roast lamb would have been the smell in the house. And there was the unleavened bread, which probably would have been a smell there as well. But there was another smell that was in the house, and it was one of those things that we don't often like very much, is the smell of dirty feet. But here is his disciples, and he's got these people, and they have not made provision for the washing of the feet. I mean, these people walked through streets where the animals walked, narrow streets, and animals seem to leave things behind as they go. And open footwear and animals, it doesn't really work, because you're going to pick up stuff. And so Jesus does something that really is amazing. Here is God in the flesh, the King of Kings, and he's about to do something powerful with his disciples, because he wants them to see a different way. There was attitudes in that room that night. There was the attitude in men's hearts. These were his 12. One was going to deny him 3 times. That was Peter. Peter was always the one who was the outspoken one. He would say, "Oh, Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll love you to the end." When it came to it, he's standing there when Jesus is being questioned, and he's standing there warming himself by a fire, and he's actually, somebody asks him, and even a servant girl says, "Aren't you one of them?" He says, "I don't know him." 3 times Peter denied knowing Jesus. And you know, we could sort of think, well, I wouldn't do that. Sometimes we don't think things in the church is our job either. But Jesus was a servant king who showed a way where we can actually know that we are serving God in serving others. And so Jesus takes this lonely role that nobody wanted to do. And the Bible says that he poured water into a bowl, took off his outer garments, put a towel around his waist, and he begins to wash these dirty feet. And finally he comes to Peter, and Peter says, "You're not going to do that to me, Lord." And Jesus said, "Well, if you don't allow me, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will know." See, Jesus was paying it forward, because he knew he was going to deny him. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, "Hey, Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me." The cock crows, pardon, "You will deny me 3 times. And so Jesus is actually paying it forward already, washing his feet, his attitude. In that same room is the Sons of Thunder. James and John. They were always having a go at each other. That Jesus fondly called them the sons of thunder because they were always in there wanting a bit of a brawl, you know. So things they were enjoying, and you get that with young men. And so I don't know exactly what age these young men would have been, but there would have been some rivalry going on. And so there was this attitude. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, it actually says that these two were arguing as to who's going to be the greatest. Now, these guys are unaware that Jesus is about to go to the death on the cross, and here they are arguing as to who's going to be the greatest. So there's competition. There's pride. One of the things that really we can all struggle with is pride. Pride is the big one. Pride actually was the thing that Satan was cast out of heaven for. His pride was lifted up. He wanted to be above God. He wanted to be receiving the worship. You go to a pop concert and whatever satanic music might be on, people are there waving and carried away with the whole thing because he's after the worship. He's still after the worship. Our young people are bombarded with music that is depressing and stuff like this. But Jesus came to show a different way. He came to show a different way, even for us as Christians in our daily life. And so here he goes and he washes their feet. So finally Peter says, well, not just my feet, but all over me. And Jesus actually says, well, you've already been washed. You just picked up some stuff in the world. You see, what happens is we pick stuff up in the world. It gets on us. Whether it's the news that's actually leading our way. Sometimes we can listen to popular opinion and it starts leading our way. Whatever it might be. It might be financial things or whatever is happening. Is that leading your way? You know, who is leading your way or what is leading your way is important, because ultimately Jesus said, I am the way. He made it very clear. I am the way. He didn't say there's many ways, and we can be distracted even as Christians because of all that's going on. And that's exactly, see, the ruler of the world is Satan. He was cast out of heaven down to earth. And so he had a plan in the very beginning as to try and get rid of God's perfect creation, Adam and Eve. And so they fell. And as a result of that, we have inherited that bloodline through the blood, and it had to be the blood of Jesus that could only wash away our sin, the pure blood of Jesus, who was without sin. He took our sin in his body on a tree, on the cross. And so here Jesus is washing their feet. How would your attitude be in that room situation, knowing that that was going on? Jesus knew them. Jesus knew them very well. And then there's Judas. Oh, Judas. You know, even when they were asking as to who's going to betray Jesus, because Jesus was very specific and said, I'm going to be betrayed by one of you. And they were looking at each other and they're saying, who is it? Well, we can all be that person. We can never look at them and judge them, because I could have been that person before I came to know Jesus. We could all be in that place. And so here he is going around washing these smelly feet. And he comes to Judas. Not only did he do that, but wash his feet, but the Bible says that he took some of the morsel. And Bible interpreters say it was the choicest piece. I think it might have been lamb shank. I like lamb shanks. I don't know about you. But when there's lamb shanks on the menu with mashed potato, I shouldn't go there. It'll just get you on track. Sorry. Come back. So Jesus actually gave him the choice dipped in there, and then he said, you go and do what you must do. But prior to that, I believe Jesus wanted Judas to know that he loved him. He loved him to the end. It's an eternal love. It's God's love. He had a love for those men, even though they didn't know where they were or what they were. They didn't know what they were called to. I think they were still learning. But Jesus, right to the very end, here he is showing them a better way. In fact, he says you know, a servant is not greater than his master. And Jesus said, I've not come to be served, but to serve. This is the Son of God, the one who left heaven in all its glory as the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Born of a virgin, important. The blood of the Father was the blood that was perfect blood that was shed for us. So when you think about that, I don't know if you're like me, but I would have thought, I could give that a miss. Smelly feet is not the ideal thing. I remember as a kid growing up, and one night we come in for dinner and Mum had been cooking, and man, that's not like Mum's cooking. We couldn't find out where that smell came from, but it wasn't good. And so there's this mixture of smells, and that's the same thing in this room. There was a mixture of smells, and sometimes you can run into people. There's, you know, this smell that's not quite right, and you know their attitude is not quite right. Some people are prickly because things in the world have got on them, and we are here as representatives of Jesus to actually look past any of that and be able to take them on the arm and lead them to a place where they can have the washing of Jesus Christ from head to toe and born again by the Spirit of God. And that's what he's looking for. And so he was teaching these disciples that thing. But getting back to Mum's cooking, it was always good. Sometimes we would have mushrooms because mushrooms were in season. So we would have a plate of mushrooms. Some people don't like mushrooms. There's one sitting on the front row who doesn't particularly like mushrooms. Field mushrooms are very strong in flavour. And she used to cook them up with a gravy and a sauce and all that sort of stuff. But here I am, I'm on food again. I must be hungry this morning. Did I have breakfast this morning? Anyway, so here they are. Here we are as my brother and myself. And, man, what is that smell? So the next day we pull this electric stove apart and there's this creature looking pretty ugly but very smelly. A mouse had got in there. And when the got fried. I've heard of Kentucky fried, but this was mouse fried, and it wasn't too good. So there was a bit of work going on to cleanse the smell out of the house. But Jesus was working on something here that was so important that these guys would be changed because of what Jesus did. His example was what really would change their life, so that when it came to dying for the faith and the way, they would go to the cross themselves, even Peter, who was crucified upside down, so they tell us. We pick up stuff on the streets, and as these guys picked up stuff, there was things in their life, and we can have things in our life. But you know, the closer we get to Jesus, the more he shows us there's a better way to do things, a better way to serve, so that people get the sweetness of him. We've been in this building in the 90s, and you know, some nights people would come up and say, there's a beautiful smell in the house. And I thought, well, nobody's been in here with air freshener. But it's just the presence of Jesus will sometimes bring a presence. That residue can get and be on you as you go into a world that needs to hear the gospel, the good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This passage of scripture is so powerful. There's much in it, but for time I just want to go particularly to a verse. And I think it's in verse 3 where the Bible says that Jesus knew. He knew some things. And if you read it up on the screen there, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up, took off his robe, which identified who he was, priestly garment, a teacher, put on a servant's towel and washed the disciples' feet. He knew three things. This is our identity. This is what we need to understand. You see, Jesus didn't get his identity from mankind. So Jesus, on the night he's going to go to the cross, he says, and it's in the scripture, that he knew some things. When you know this, it will change how you live your life in this world. He knew that the Father, in other words, who had sponsored him. Do you know who's sponsoring you? See, it's not who you are, it's whose you are. You see, when you give your life to Jesus, you become a child of God. And for the men, the church is spoken of as the bride of Christ. There's going to be a reunion. But it's only because of the Father's love to have children who want to love him. He's not one who wants us to live by laws, but by love relationship. And Jesus knew the Father loved him. In fact, on the day that he was baptized, Jesus went down into the water. And when he came up out of the water, not that he needed to be baptized, because baptism is just an evidence of what's happened in your heart. It's an outward evidence of what you've done, that you've died to the old way of life, and now you're going to follow Jesus, so you rise up out of the water in newness of life. And so Jesus gives an example there, and he's starting his ministry. This is the very beginning. He goes and he allows himself to be baptized by John the Baptizer, who was the forerunner before Jesus came onto the scene. And so then the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You see, we need to know that there is a Father in heaven who loves us, who cares for us, who has a plan for us. That's where we get our identity. But sometimes our identity is bound up, and particularly for guys too, in their car. You know, the car you got. We were talking about cars as we were driving here this morning. But that can be our identity, our workplace. You know, I work at such and such a place. That's my identity. No, my real identity is I'm known in heaven. I know who sponsors me. Have we got that scripture back again, please? I'll lose my place. I can't read it here. I've got glasses on. That he'd given all things into his hands. Here we see that the Father was the provider. And often in life we struggle, especially when you hear interest rates are going up and things are happening and all sorts of things. The global financial crisis, I mean, you know, people got wobbly, got shaky. What's going on? But hey, God cares. He cares. He will look after you. He said, "I am your provider. I will look after you." And so Jesus knew who actually was going to look after him. And then he says that he would return to God the Father. There he was going to receive a throne and a crown. He knew who was going to reward him. When we know that, hey, our reward is not just here in some way, it might be, but, you know, our greatest reward is when we get to heaven, having asked Jesus into our life and having changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's only by understanding that you can have your identity and be secure. I grew up with insecurities, and I've still got them, some of them. Some of them I wish would take a shotgun too and get rid of them, but it's a work. I'm not what I used to be, nor am I what I'm going to be. And it's a work. But as we understand that God loves us, some of the things that happen in life is to change us, is to change how we look at things, how we serve him, how we speak to people, how we care about them, because it's really only love what the world needs now. With the song, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." For those that are old enough to know it, remember it. Some of you are. Some of you still got hair. But never mind. We'll get back to this. So Jesus knew who was looking after him. He knew who was sponsoring him. So Jesus had no problem in getting up and washing and taking the servant's role of washing the disciples' feet. I believe that when Jesus said, "I am the way," he was there as the way, but then also showing a way. The two go together. Because we can actually put on an outward appearance, but not be going the right way. People want us to be certain ways, and you know, Christianity, I mean, it's so sad what you hear. There's in India right now, there's Christians over there, their houses have been burned, their businesses have been burned, they've been banished. In fact, Christianity, Christians, there's more Christians being persecuted than any other denomination, any other following, any other religious group. But if you were the devil, who would you want to get rid of? The truth. The truth. See, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. One thing I've understood is that when I read through this Bible, I don't need to look and try and find fault with what's written there or not understand fully, but I actually need to say, God, what are you saying in this passage of Scripture? Because then we will find the truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will lead us into that truth. He is the truth. He is the living Word. He was the living Word, and He came out of the Word as such, and He became flesh. But then it's like here we have the written Word inspired, all these authors. What were there, 40... whatever number, authors, make a number, 66 books written by different people. But it contains the truth and the Word of God. It reveals Jesus. A lot of people say, well, who is this Jesus? He was either who he claimed to be, a madman, or, what was the other one? A liar. But he said, I'm the truth. He knew that challenge would come. See, Jesus knew ahead of time what these men would be like. He obeyed the Father and chose these men. You know, you choose a tax collector who was hated. I mean, why would you do that? That's not really a good representation of your following. You find that Peter, you know, he often carried a knife. In fact, he was there the night that Jesus was betrayed and took off us one of the guy's ears. I mean, Jesus picked it up and put it back on. I mean, I think I would have converted just about then. The Bible says his ear was put back on and he was made whole. In fact, when Peter was in the time with the praetorium and the whole group of people there judging Jesus and ridiculing him, there is somebody that actually was related to the guy who had his ear taken off and then put back on. He said, I'm sure, Peter, you were one of them. And he said, no, no, not me, not me. And Jesus would have been there and seeing this, and the three times he denied him, yet he washed his feet knowing that that was going to happen. Judas, he knew what was going to happen. The disciples didn't understand. When Jesus said to Judas, you go and do what you got to do, the Bible says that they thought he was going to give money to the poor. He was the guy who had he was the treasurer. But there was a little bit for the poor and there's some for me. A little bit for the poor and some for me. Jesus would have known that exactly, what was going on. And he washes their feet. You know, we can travel through this life and sometimes even as Christians we can lose the way. We start to get off track. But as we just close the service now, we've got 12 minutes and we're going to close. I'm just wondering within your heart whether there's something that's in the way of following in the way. We can have roadblocks. We can have situations that have happened in our life. We can have those times when somebody has done something that we know is wrong, but yet they went ahead and did it to release forgiveness like Jesus did. He was showing the love of God. Can we do that? Can we show that love? And I believe we need the help of the Holy Spirit who will lead us in a way. Things that happen in life and we can struggle because this life is not perfect. Things do happen. But thank God he's prepared a place for us that is perfect. And we have that to look forward to. So as the team come, and we're just going to be open and honest tonight, today. It's not yet night. I haven't preached that long. But let's just open our hearts and let's just allow God just to speak to us. Maybe you need to recommit back to Jesus. Maybe you've never really understood what it is to have been born again or give your life to Jesus, what it is to actually experience His love for you. He's as real as you and I are here today. And He wants to touch your heart. He cares about you. He wants to wash you with His love. He wants to bring you to a place of allowing His love to deal with issues that have happened.